All right. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And you might ask yourself, why on earth does Caesar have any rule over Israel? Well, at this time, since the end of your Old Testament, a lot has happened. The Persians came in and took over Israel, and then the Greeks, and now the Romans. That's why they speak Greek, and Israel and the Romans are in charge. There we are. Quick history lesson. So Caesar Augustus is in charge of what we would call the known world. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Verse 3. And all the world, and all went to be taxed. And here's what you had to do. Everyone into his own city. So whatever city you were born, that's where you would have to go to pay your taxes. So I'm originally from Buffalo. Eli's hit the wall. I'm just telling you, that's where it's at. All right. Oh, poor guy. Poor little man. It's all right, buddy. It's okay. It's Christmas. Let me just say, if your cell phones are on, turn them off now. No more distractions, all right? We're not stopping. We're already at 7:05 now because of all that. All right, here we are. We find in our passage nothing new about taxes. Last 2,000 years, people have been paying taxes. I hate paying taxes. I hate paying taxes too. But there we are. So the people of the land had to go back to their city. Wherever you were born, that's where you went to pay your taxes. The husband of the family, that's where he went. So I was born in Buffalo, so I would have to travel to Buffalo every year to pay my taxes. Well, Joseph, although they lived in the city of Nazareth, had to go to a different city, and it tells us in verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, that's where he lived, into Judea, under the city of David, it says. So I don't remember ever reading about the city David. Well, it was called the city of David, but its actual name was Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Oh, now we're talking about familiar words. Words that we know about it. You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody these days that doesn't know the Christmas story. Doesn't know that Joseph, a spouse to be married to Mary, having never known her, yet she was great with child, as we're about to read, were traveling from Nazareth unto Bethlehem. And the Bible says this in verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, yet still born in Bethlehem. It's amazing how God works in our life. How He puts things together, how He makes it all work, how He's always working behind the scenes in your life. Oh, maybe you're here tonight and you're not even sure why you're here. May I ascribe to you tonight, maybe it's God working behind the scenes to get you in a place. Maybe Joseph, although he's had to make this trip every year, never expected the timing of this. And, well, if any of our ladies remember when you were, as the Bible says, now this is what the Bible says. She was great with child. See, what does that mean? She was huge. She was huge. But they didn't have the liberty to be able to stay at home. Ladies, if you remember when you were at this moment in your life, there you were, the last thing you wanted to do was move. So how do you know? Well, we have 5 children, and I've heard firsthand. I'm just going to sit down for a minute, put my feet up. All right. Any sort of movement was strenuous and difficult, much less to make a traveled trip. There was no subway, there was no train, there was no bus, there was no plane. It was, well, by beast and by foot. And there Mary, great with child, is making the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. If you can imagine the stories that were brought up about Mary. Here's Mary, great with child. No wedding ring on. No, she's just been a spouse to be married. Now, if we follow the biology, and we're careful with it, I understand. But no matter what Mary told anybody, nobody was believing her. Did you and Joseph? Oh, no. No. Never. But how? God. The one and only time God did such a thing. This would be a mark that Jesus would carry throughout his life. In John chapter 8, it was said that he was born of fornication. They mocked him for it all his life. 30 years he carried the stigma that him and his parents weren't married when he was born. But Joseph, being a good and honorable man, never left Mary. No, he helped her on the trip, and they traveled across from one city to the next. And there she was, great with child. And if her pregnancy was like any other lady's pregnancy, all she wanted to do was sit down for a minute. She'd been tired. She's weary. We once in a while make a trip to go see family. We have family in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And that's an 11-hour trip by car. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Used to be fun. Now we have 5 children. And now, well, so we have spots that we like to stop. Joseph, can we stop up here? I just need a rest. I'm so tired. I'm thirsty. They're getting closer and closer, and then there they found themselves in Bethlehem. Maybe he was going to do business, and all of a sudden, she felt something she never felt before. Say, what was that? A contraction. They're looking for a place to stay, and we read these words in verse 7. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 in verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Anybody familiar with swaddling clothes? If you're familiar with swaddling clothes, it is, if you go to the hospital these days and have a child, they give you blankets and little bonnets and hatty things. Maybe some special groups make those. So sweet, so nice. Little booties and nice little soft blankets. Swaddling clothes are not. It's like a burlap. And the Bible says, laying them in a manger. Say, oh, how sweet. Is that like a bassinet? Well, not exactly. A manger is a place where horses and cattle fed. So why on earth would they be in a place giving birth to a child where you feed animals? Well, the Bible says this because there was no room for them in the inn. The obvious place is she's pulling on Joseph's arm. Get me to the doctor! Get me somewhere comfortable. All right, there's an inn just up here. He pounds on the door. Hey, would you let us in? My wife is... I'm sorry, it's a high trafficked time. We have no rooms left. He goes to the next inn and to the next inn or however many it is. But the Bible says there was no room for them. So they found a shelter. Well, where they fed the animals. And there they find themselves in a... Well, quite honestly, ladies, if I asked you, where would you like to have your child? I think you'd have to get pretty far down the list to say anywhere close to where they feed animals. And the Bible says that they did that because there was no room for them in the inn. If we could fast forward 2,000 years, to here we find ourselves. Here we find ourselves going about our daily life. Maybe you work a job, get up Monday morning, and do your routine, support a family. Got a couple cars, you got a dog that you can't stand. Looking forward to spending some time with family. Christmas time. Maybe you pulled some extra overtime just so you could get your son or daughter the specific gift. Saved up, maybe have seniority this year and you're able to get Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off. Here you find yourself just living life. Missing something. Say, what am I missing? Is it possible that much like Luke chapter 2, at some point in your life, there was a knock at your heart's door? Hey, we have an urgent need. There's something going on. And what you said was, I'm sorry, there's no room here. No room for Jesus in my life. Now, if we follow the life of Christ, this wasn't just a child. This was the Savior of the world. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one that will, some 30 years later, walk on water. The one that will change water into wine. The one that will come up and just heal the blind and the lame and the issues of blood. The one that will, 33 years later, die on a cruel cross and shed His blood and pay for the sins of the entire world. Tonight at our house, in about a half an hour, we're going to have we have seven people that live in our house currently. A wife and I and five children. We also have a dog, a cat. We have a bunch of fish, a frog. And it's an old house. Every now and then a field mouse comes in. But included in that, my wife's parents are spending the night. And her sister. And their three children. So you must live in a mansion. No, we don't. So where are you going to fit in? I don't know. I just get my bed and let them just sleep where they do. I don't know. So why are you saying that? Even as full as it may be, if you came and knocked on our door and said, hey, I got a real bad issue. Is there any room for me? Sure, come on in. What's one more, right? Even if we were at capacity, and the president comes and knocks on my door and says, Russo family, I need to spend the night here. Knowing who's talking to me, I'll make a way. Why wouldn't they let him in? Why wouldn't they let him in? Maybe because they failed to recognize who it was that was knocking on the door. Why wouldn't you let Jesus Christ into your heart? Maybe much like the innkeeper, you didn't realize who was standing at the door. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, last book of the Bible. Look what it says here. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is talking of Jesus Christ. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. But all too often, there's a knock at our heart's door. And what do we say? I'm sorry, there's no room. Why? Because we fail to recognize who it is that is knocking at our door. If we saw that it was Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and all that He could do for you, surely I would let Him in. I wonder if years later, if we found that innkeeper today, and we could take him back to that day and say, do you realize what you... I had no idea what I was saying. You know, so many times we've denied the Lord Jesus Christ in our own life. Why? Because we didn't know what we were saying. We didn't realize it. I want to show you two quick verses. You've already been generous with your time. Ephesians chapter 3. Can I ask you tonight, is there room for Jesus in your life? In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Surely if God came to my door tonight and knocked and said, "Can I come in?" And I looked at the nail-pierced hands and the scars upon his head, and I say, "Surely." What about our hearts? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your life? John 1:12, last verse that we'll look at tonight. John 1:12. The Bible says this, John 1:12, "But as many as received him." See, that's what's wonderful about gifts. Many of you, maybe, how many of you exchanged any gifts already? Anybody? Anybody do some gifts? All right. You guys are strong. My kids are like, "Dad, can we?" You know, like 3 days ago, they're asking. And the wonderful thing about gifts are that, well, they're free. All you're really going to have to do is take it. No one, I don't think, gives a gift and then sends an invoice, right? "Here, I got you this. It's going to cost you about $65, but here you go." No, that's the nature of the gift. All you have to do is receive it. All you have to do is open the door by faith. Remember in Ephesians chapter 3, we read that. By faith. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves." Listen now, it's a gift of God. See, we're saved from our sin, not because of our great works, but we're saved from our sin because it's a gift. All we had to do was receive it. Much like today or tonight, or maybe you'll let your kids open, all right, one gift tonight. Maybe you can do your stockings, maybe none of that. Maybe they wait till tomorrow. Christmas Day, they open up. What'd they have to do? All they had to do was receive it. Do you understand that Jesus Christ came, He died on the cross, paid for your sins. All of them. Every single sin that you've ever committed. Say, how do I get forgiveness of my sins? Simply ask Him. Admit that you're a sinner and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. Oh, there's so many verses we could look at in the book of Romans that would take us right through that. But tonight, I just want to ask you this one question. Have you made room for Jesus in your life? Or did you send Him along and say, "I'm sorry, there's no room for you here. Dad, Mom, have you made room for Jesus in your family? Young person, have you made room for Jesus in your life with your friends? With where you're going, your decisions. Can you do what the innkeeper couldn't do? Recognize who it is that's knocking at your heart door tonight. And invite Him to come in. The greatest gift, if I could give, man, I wish I had the resources to give everybody something. But if I could give you the most important thing, it would be an invitation to come meet Jesus Christ. Not because I'm, but because I know you need it. Because that's what the Bible says. Hey, I really appreciate your attention and being here tonight. Whether you come here or not, I want you to think about that question. Have I made room for Jesus in my life? In every area. When you came in tonight, we gave you one of these. Or maybe you grabbed one or saw one. On the back side is the song Silent Night. In a moment we're going to sing that, but I'm going to ask you a couple questions before we do that. Can I ask you to just bow your head, nobody looking around, just for a moment? I'm not going to call you out, but I just want to be able to pray for you. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I know in my heart and in my life, I've told Jesus, no, I didn't want him here, but after what you said tonight, I'd like to learn more about what it means to be a Christian. Could you just pray for me? If you're like that here tonight and you just want to raise your hand, anybody like that here tonight? Hey, pray for me. All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate your honesty. Thank you. Pray for me. I'd like to learn more about being a Christian. All right. I appreciate your honesty. Look up. Everyone can look up. Let's remember what Christmas really is all about. It's about the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, before you do anything, make sure you give Him attention. Make sure you recognize who it is that's knocking at the door. Let's stand and we'll take our songs out. Can I have our ushers come?